In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please do be seated. Doubts. I can hardly believe that I'm old enough to be the father of a 16-year-old daughter. Our numbers go up by one because when you go over 16, you become an adult for the church's purpose. So we get taxed on her now. It's true. Doubt and Thomas from the Gospel reading. He wasn't the only disciple who had doubts, Thomas. We're told that lots of them had doubts. But poor old Thomas seems to have had doubts stuck on him, so that doubt and Thomas almost go together. They've become synonymous. And when we say doubting Thomas, it's not, oh gosh, doubting Thomas. It's, ooh, doubting Thomas. Doubt being a bad thing. It's not good to have doubts. And doubt has become a dirty word. And many Christians feel that they've let God down if they have doubts. That because doubt is something naughty, we shouldn't have. That in a sense you have to pretend you don't have doubts. Because if you admit to these doubts, it's obviously a bad thing. So what I want to do this morning is just spend a little bit of time thinking about what doubt is. And then thinking about what we can do about doubt. First of all, what is doubt? Well, doubt is when we find it difficult to believe certain things in our faith as Christians. Our Lent course this year, we looked at one session about what happened when Darwin's creation theory came along. And when scientists started to tell that the world was probably a lot older than the 5,000 years that people had thought it was. You know, if you do the chronology in the Bible, it goes back about 5,000 years, some people would say. And when the whole Darwin thing came along, and science said, well, look, you know, we've got these fossils, and they discovered dinosaurs, and it wasn't that long ago, remember, that we first discovered dinosaurs. They said, look, the world's really, really old. Lots of people had doubts in their faith. They said, oh, dear. If the world's really millions of years old, then the Bible must be wrong. And therefore, perhaps we've just been making it all up. And lots of people had troubles in their faith. They were questioning whether or not God and Jesus and the whole thing was true or not. And, I mean, I've picked on the creation idea there, but it could be lots of things that people struggle with in their faith. It could be anything from the creeds. It could be a whole range of Christian teachings that people think, I just find that difficult to believe. Now, we looked in our Lent course and showed how Christians moved through that and realised that there wasn't any great contradiction necessarily in believing that the world was millions of years old and still sticking with the biblical ideas that God made it all. So it's about things that we believe. Doubt can also be about what we feel. Not just what we think, but what we feel in our hearts. We might be able to say in our minds, for instance, that we believe God is looking after Aunt Priscilla, who's died, and that everything will be all right on the other side. But there might in our hearts be that aching feeling of sadness and loss which challenges our faith. And that can be a major part of what doubt is. So it's troubles to the mind and troubles also to the heart. Challenges which question our faith of whether God is really there at all or whether we're just making it all up. That's what doubt is. So what do we do with doubt? What do we do with doubt? The first thing is to admit it. Just to own up. Everybody has doubts and fears about their faith. Everybody. There can be a terrible superficiality in churches where everyone pretends that they don't have any doubts. Terrible superficiality. And it's a dangerous way to lead our Christian lives because it's a denial of our own selves. You will know that in our churches there's a group of people who go out and they make contact with everybody who's had a funeral by one of the ministers. Pastoral team. that pastoral team, they're not there to go and tell people how to deal with bereavement, but they just go along and really listen and just show a friend cares. But one of the things that they will sometimes say to people who are deeply bereaved is, we know that when you've lost somebody you love, it feels like the world's caving in. We know that you feel as if there's no point sometimes in going on yourself. And when someone who's bereaved hears that other people feel like that, they think, oh my gosh, I'm normal. It's okay to feel like that. Now, in a sense, doubt is a bit like bereavement. People need to be told it's okay. We all have that sense of feeling at times as well. So a lot of dealing with doubt is just admitting it and recognizing that it's there. That bishop, priests, deacons and ministers, they all have the same doubts as everybody else. It's normal. Doubt is an honest part of faith itself. I'm not advocating wallowing in doubt. Oh, I've got these amazing doubts. That's not what I'm saying at all. But it's okay to recognise that they are there and a normal part of faith. You see, the Victorian way of dealing with doubt was said to be to avoid too much inquiry. Charles Kingsley is said to have cautioned his wife over doubt by saying, think little and read less. Think little, and that's not dealing with doubt. That's just denying it. It's an ignorance in search of bliss. And it's not a good way to build your faith. The poet William Austin said, he that never doubted, scarce ever well believed. He that never doubted, scarce ever well believed. The doubt and the faith and belief went together. I'm not pretending that doubt is a wonderful thing. It's not. It can paralyze us and prevent us from serving God or worshipping him. Yet every one of us has doubts. They're almost a prerequisite of faith. And we can actually use our doubt to move us on, to help us in our faith. Don't get stuck in the doubt. Use it. You see, as a Christian minister, I'm not frightened if people question their faith, because I know that our faith stands scrutiny. It's okay to really delve into the faith and question the things, because our faith is rock solid and sure. You can dig as deep as you like and you'll find it's a firm foundation. It's not built on sand. Now, there are some doctrines and ideas in other faiths which are built on sand. And I think, you know, it's okay to say that. Some faiths have doctrines which are complete and utter nonsense. Now, I know it's an age in which we're supposed to really, you know, welcome other faiths and get along with them and all the rest of it. And that's great. That's smashing. We should. We should hold out our hands of friendship to people of other faiths. But some faiths are complete and utter nonsense. They are. They are. I mean, take the whole business of the Jehovah's Witnesses. It's all based on a complete nonsense and a mistranslation of the texts. And we shouldn't be frightened of recognising that there are some faiths which, if you dig down deep, you'd find that the whole thing's just a mess. And, you know, it's like a house that's built on terrible foundations. You could never get insurance for it because it can guarantee it'll have subsidence. Now, our faith isn't like that. It stands scrutiny. So you can doubt and question and search, and you'll only find that your faith grows. Because it's a good faith, it's a solid faith. And you think of men and women in the Bible who questioned God, who struggled with their faith. They didn't find that God was inadequate, they found that God was equal to their doubts. You look at somebody like Moses, who struggled with his faith, and God provided Aaron to help him to deal with the task that lay ahead. You can think of someone like Jeremiah, who struggled with terrible depression and blackness and doubt, and how he searched and struggled and found God a strength in that. You can think of Peter. You know, we tend to say doubting Thomas, but we could equally say doubting Peter, or doubting any of the other disciples, because they all had terrible doubts, and God took them through those doubts. It's in the process of dealing with doubts that we grow and mature in our faith. Perhaps the theologian who put the most positive spin on doubt was somebody called Paul Tillich. And he said this, he said, "No one can say of himself that he's in a position of faith. Every theologian is committed and alienated. He's always in faith and doubt." And what he was saying is that faith on one side and doubt on the other are almost necessary to grow in faith. Faith and doubt are twins. They must go together. Now, that's a really positive spin, but that's what he said. I would say that it's often the most honest Christian who speaks of their doubts. Obviously, if we're in denial, we can believe anything. We can refuse to deal with our faith in an honest fashion and pretend to ourselves and others. And equally, there are some Christians who seem to drift along speaking of their very simple faith. And I'm not using that phrase in a negative sense, but some people talk about just having a simple faith. And if that works for you, fine. But many people who talk about a simple childlike trust just never actually grow in faith at all. It remains a childish faith. And that's not good, because we do need to have very firm foundations. So don't be afraid to speak of your doubts, to share your doubts with others, and learn from people who might have been through the same doubts that you've gone through and come through and can help. Secret doubts can become secret fears, which actually harm our faith. It's often the very most thoughtful Christians who have doubts. It's often the most honest Christians. It's also the most thoughtful Christians who have doubts. You know, we can be utterly naive and think that the moon is made of blue cheese, but that's not the kind of faith that I would want to encourage. I want to encourage Christians who think, who go through their faith and understand it, so that they're able to give an account of their faith and explain their faith to others. We don't have to pay lip service to things which we find difficult. We can talk about them, we can pray about them to God, and be honest and open about us, because they can lead us into a deeper knowledge. The Christian faith will hold up to scrutiny. It's interesting, isn't it? Because as children, we often see things in terms of blacks and whites and very clear cut. And as we grow older and we become more mature, we see things are more complex, and issues aren't quite as cut and dried as we once thought. Somebody said that a compensation, albeit a small compensation, for the broadening of the waist with age was a corresponding broadening of the mind. It is a small compensation. Somebody once said that the task of the preacher was to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Yeah. Sometimes we comfort the afflicted very well, but we don't afflict the comfortable. And what we're meant to do as preachers is to not unsettle people's faith, but just, you know, push them into deeper knowledge of God. And sometimes doubt can do that too. Doubt can remind us that God's much bigger than us, that we don't put God in a box and control him and understand him, or some of you would say her. We don't grasp God with the measure of our minds. And so doubt can be a wonderful thing to help us to realize just how magnificent God really is. Amen.